The word Eicha is a very significant word to the Jew, perhaps more so than the first word of other Svarim, perhaps even the other Megillos, Shir HaShirim, Koheles, Rush. The very word Eicha is one that has been able to stir within our minds and our hearts an image of suffering, of pain, of longing. And as we're going to read tomorrow in the Kinos, Chazal, in their typical analytical and perceptive fashion, so understood intuitively that the word Eicha means a lot more than just how. As we're going to see, there are certain kinos using certain literary license interpret or present the word Eicha as Eicho, and as well, of course, we can't miss the fact that the word Eicha, if you just read it a little differently, you just change the vowels, is read as Ayeka. And that word Ayeka, while it is perhaps a little less known, not as often recited, it is one that is no less significant. In the first source on the page that you have in front of you, so in perhaps the first most embarrassing moment in all of human history, when Adam and Chava are caught in the act of betrayal against God, so in that which is the most astounding pasuk, the Torah tells us, "Vayishmu es kol Hashem Elokim esalech began," that they heard, that they sensed, that somehow there was a greater presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Gan Eden. They started to hide. Intuitively, Adam and Chava did not know what else to do other than to hide from the Rabbana Shalom. So God calls out to man, and he says, "Where are you?" That word Ayeka, of course, the same letters as the word Eicha, so is perhaps, I think, also to be somewhat of a compass for us on this day. And the word Ayeka is a question, as a word that was posed not only at that time to Adam HaRishon, but is posed to each and every one of us throughout different points in our life. And on this night of Tisha B'Av, when we say Eicha, so the question that we should be asking ourselves or imagining is if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to us right now, Ayeka, where are you? Where are you? Shouldn't you be somewhere else? And we have a long tradition in our Masorah, in our heritage, as part of our Torah, as part of the basic body of Jewish law, a long tradition to mourn for Yerushalayim, for the Temple. Some of you may have seen the title that I gave to tonight's presentation is that we lost the ability to mourn for the Temple, to mourn for Yerushalayim. Just to share with you briefly, not to develop them, certainly not B'derech Pilpul, which would not be appropriate on this day of Tisha B'Av, but just some basic sources and just a few, which should remind us, that which we know, but bring to the forefront of our mind, that we have an obligation as Jews to mourn for the Beis HaMikdash, to mourn for Yerushalayim, not only today, but each and every day. The Gemara in Sukkah, interpreting the pasuk Tzion he doreshin laz, and Navi laments the fact that nobody is asking, nobody is seeking Yerushalayim, says the Gemara in Bechlal, the boy Drisha. You see that Tzion, Yerushalayim, requires seeking. We need to be seeking her. The very first siman in all of Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch that we turn when we want to know if our tzitzis are kosher, what bracha we're supposed to make on a certain fruit, am I permitted to do this on Shabbos? What are the laws of this particular Yom Tov? The laws of business, the laws of ribbis, all the laws, the very first siman in all of Shulchan Aruch, coming first from the Torah, siman Aleph, chapter 1, Roi l'cho yirei shemayim, shehe meitza v'doeg al-chor ben beis ha-migdash. It is fitting, it is appropriate for every God-fearing person to be concerned, to be distressed, over the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now clearly, the word Roi, it doesn't say Chayiv. Perhaps That's a tall order. That each and every person should walk around concerned and distressed each and every day, so perhaps that's a bit much. But then again, the Shulchan Aruch was not written only for Yerei Shemayim. There are many other things that are roi for Yerei Shemayim which are not found in the Shulchan Aruch. This is an obligation for each and every one of us. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that at the time a person leaves this world, there's a series of questions one is asked. It's not a very long list. It's only 6 questions. And one of those questions is, Shipisa Yeshua, do you yearn for the coming of the Mashiach? This doesn't merely mean that I daven 3 times a day and include in my Shmona Esrei as Semach Ravid Avlecha Meheiros Asmiach. It can't be that easy. The other ones aren't. Engaging in business is not easy. Setting aside time for Torah study is not easy. Raising a Torah family is not easy. Shipisul Yeshua, which is number 4th on the list, can't be as easy as, oh yes, I said Kibishu Aschla Kivina Kol Hayom. There's an obligation that we have over the course of our life to yearn for the coming of Mashiach, to miss and to mourn that which has been lost, not only on the day of Tisha B'Av. And this is so important, it's so critical, that our rabbis teach us that it is one of the questions, one of the only questions, that are directly presented to an individual when leaving this world. The Mashiach Shasharim and Perik Yates in source number 5 emphasizes as well that a person who wants to live a life of spiritual fulfillment, a person who wants to live a life of chasidus, which he describes over here as not as a particular lifestyle, a way of dress, or an association with a particular town in Europe, but chasidus over here meaning a person who, the mischasid im kono, a person who lives a life of purity, of piety with his maker, v'adai tzarech sheyitzta'er tzamid tzar mamish al hagalos v'al hachurban. He said it is unquestionably necessary, it is a prerequisite that such a person be constantly concerned and pained of the galus and the churban. Now I'm not going to stand before you and preach to you to do something and to feel something that I don't. Maybe some of you do. Okay. I would never ask of something that I myself have not been able to even begin to achieve. I present this as a problem. I present this as sources which concern me. Because we have been able within our lives to create truly wholesome Jewish lifestyles in which we are concerned about so many aspects of our religious observance, but it's as if this component is one which gets very, very little attention all throughout the year, with the exception perhaps of Tisha B'Av. And I dare say even when those have an opportunity, especially Zuchus, to visit Eretz Yisrael, and how moving it is, of course, to visit the Mekomos HaKadoshim, to visit the old city of Yerushalayim, to walk and to see the Kotel, perhaps we even shed a tear, but more often than not, even once again, for those who are most grounded spiritually and feel that connection, it is a moment which brings, if anything, a sense of satisfaction to our hearts. It makes us feel somewhat uplifted. We feel a sense of excitement and happiness to be back in Yerushalayim. It would seem to me, after seeing some of these sources, that we should feel a sense of great depression when coming to that place. A number of weeks ago, I had the zechus to be in Eretz Yisrael, and I had to catch a mincha. One good thing about driving around the land of Israel is you can catch a mincha almost anywhere. And I went to a community. It was very far from Yerushalayim, geographically, and as you'll see in a moment in other ways. When I came, caught a mincha, was a mincha like any other, and the Rav got up to speak in between mincha Maariv, and just that day happened to speak about the tradition of tearing Kriya when seeing the Kotel HaMaravi. And he declared in front of all these people, when seeing the Harabayas, not the Kotel, when seeing Harabayas, and he declared in front of all these individuals that in his opinion this obligation no longer applies. And in fact he says, I've never seen anyone who does it. You go to the Kotel, you never see any people tearing their garments. And he went on to make a case that there's no longer an obligation to tear Kriya on Harabayas. I'm looking to be critical about this particular individual and the position that he took. It's not a custom, as he presented, it's not a minhug, It's a din which is found in the Gemara, which is recorded in Shulchan Aruch, and the one that applies to this very day. It is true that we no longer, according to many poskim, tear kriya and Rishiyim, Ari Yehuda, which are now under Jewish sovereignty, and perhaps even the city of Yerushalayim. But I believe all the poskim that weigh in on this question declare in unison that the Har Habayis, which is now occupied by another presence, a foreign presence. I was able to get a very, very high view of the old city just about a week ago, and I was able to see perhaps, a very, very, very small segment of Har Habayis. And all I saw, I didn't see a fox running around. I didn't see Shu'alim Hukuvo, but I did see a few young Arab children playing soccer. That was the only view that I could actually get of the Temple Mount. So to suggest that in our door, because we have been fortunate to return to Eretz Yisrael, we no longer have an obligation to mourn over what is missing. There is so much missing. And the Pele Yoetz in source number 6 reminds us that while it is true that Avelus for the Churban Habayis is one which involves certain actions, and particularly this time of year, he stresses that that's not all it's about. Lo hamata hu aikar rachzarech liyos ayin b'mar bochev alev nishbar v'nitkeko avel. A person has to feel a true sense of grief and avelus. This is not something that comes naturally. He goes on to admit that we know v'ein emes ki dalonim yod v'ein itan yodeya machasarnu u'ma ibadnu u'ma garamnu b'avon esenu harabu mahu golos haschina. We don't understand what we've lost. What are we supposed to do? This is not a new problem. The famous work, the Kuzari in source number 7, and this is a particularly famous passage within the work, famous work of Yehuda Halevi. So over here he records, of course, the ongoing conversation between the king of the Khazars and the one who is representing Yehuda Halevi himself, perhaps representing Judaism and Torah. And over here it says, Omar hu Kuzari. This is one of the most serious indictments that is recorded in that sefer against the Jewish people. And it's written over here in a respectful fashion. The king questions the Jew, you know, I don't understand. You say each and every day that God return us to Jerusalem, and you clearly believe it's going to happen one day. You say, Rachem al Tzion ki hibes chayenu. And you understand better than I do that you have a rich history there. Such a rich history that even the other nations of the world acknowledge it. The Christians, he says, say that they believe that the souls, when leaving this world, gather and go up to heaven in that place of Jerusalem. The Arabs declare that they believe that the prophets go up to the heavens from this place. Everyone understands it's important. But I see that when you bow and you turn to Jerusalem, it's chanifa. It's false flattery. It's something that you're doing by rote, but you don't really mean it. And how do I know that you don't mean it? Because you're not there. He said, because centuries and after centuries, people would have been given anything to be a stranger in that land. Certainly if they had an opportunity to go there. And look where you are. So on this point, the Chaver does not try to defend his people. He says, Avoshtani Melchuzar, I am greatly embarrassed before you. And he says, you are right. You're right. And he goes on to say that this has bothered me as well. And I believe, he says, that had only the Jewish people returned at that time when given an opportunity in the days of Ezra, had everyone come together so we could have restored what once was and ended everything right then and there. V'shem al zeh amar Shlomo, perhaps this is what Shlomo HaMelech alludes to in Shir HaShirim, Ani yisheinav ali bi'er, I am asleep, but my heart is awake. Kana ha'galuz v'sheinav ha'alev ha'er ha'smandas ha'nevua v'ne'em. Shlomo HaMelech is describing over here the state of slumber, of sleep, to an emotional lethargy. And there is inside of us this calling, which he says of the Nevi'im, Kol dodido fake, that God is calling to the Jew to return. Come back to me. Shiroshi nimlatol al eschina shiyatsu nitzali amitash. But our response is, Pashatati akutanti, I already took my clothes off. I'm already in bed. this laziness. And he says, there's no doubt in my mind that God can only avail himself to those who want to have that connection. Inyan alaki enim chal ala ish ala kifi hizdamnusolo imaat imaat imabeya imabeya. A person has to make himself into a keli. A person has to make himself into a receptacle that could receive this greatness from the Rabbonus Shalom. And Yehuda Levi laments the fact that this is missing. This is not a new problem. We're not the first generation to be lacking that deep sense of earnest, sincere yearning to return to the Mikdash, to return to that world that is lost. Why is it so bad? What do we need to be concerned about? After all, we know the end of the story. And the end of the story is that the king and his people live happily ever after. So should it concern us? Should it really, really concern us that we don't have that true sense of yearning as we should? So, share with you at this time a haunting, I think also at the same time a very inspirational thought from Rabbi Yudami Peshischa, as recorded over here on the Sefer Ema Banim Smecha, a very, very important and holy work, which of course is such an important and critical Sefer for those who identify with various aspects of religious Zionism. And he writes over here a vort from a Hasidic Rebbe, a beautiful, beautiful explanation of a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Mascheni Acharecha Narutza. The pasuk says, Mascheni Acharecha Narutza, pull me, draw me to you, and I will follow, I will run after you. And he explains over here so powerfully that in Jewish law, there is, of course, a kinyan, a transaction, a way to effect a transaction where a person can be koneh, can acquire an animal. And that kinyan is called the kinyan meshicha. It's one of the ways that a person can purchase, can acquire an animal. A kinyan meshicha. Now how does kinyan meshicha, how does it effective when it comes to an animal? So there are two ways that a person can effect a kinyan meshicha. One way is a person goes and he calls the animal either by his name, or he says something and the animal begins to follow that person. That constitutes a kinyan meshicha. When the person does that, assuming that it's been given to him, there's an acquisition, so then it's him. So there's no turning back. Neither side could back out at that point. There's been a kinyan. If that doesn't work, so there's another way. And that is that the person goes behind the animal, he gives him a little zetch, and the animal begins to move. So instead of the animal following, the animal leaves. Both of them are equally effective. Both of them are called the kinyan meshicha. So Vinim Vishishcha writes over here that this is a call that we have to the Rabbonus Shel Olam, that he should be kona us, the derech b'kinyan meshicha, that God should acquire us, but he should not acquire us in the manner that he has to hit us in order for us to follow. It should be that God calls our name, and we go. Mascheini acharecha narutza. Do the type of b'kinyan meshicha where you call us and we go. Kol dodido fake. So over here in this particular context, he's referring to the call of Aliyah, which of course is a major component of this idea. But I don't think it's the only one. I don't think that the only way that a person in our dar, because that's all we can focus on right now, can respond to the kol dodido fake of our generation is by getting up and moving to Israel. There's no doubt there's no greater sense of commitment and devotion to that call. But it's not the only manner. It starts by awakening with inside oneself a true and earnest desire to understand, to connect, to mourn, to grieve, and then to be moved in a positive way to connect with that lost world. To hear the kol dodido fake, to hear it, Mascheni acharecha narutza, because the alternative is, Rachmano etzlan, that God could be moshech us in other ways, by slapping us, by hitting us. And in this particular case, this Sefer, which was written literally in the fires of the Holocaust, as Europe was in flames, and he was reflecting upon the fact that there was call after call after call, and they didn't move, And look at what's happening. Again, I'm not a prophet. I don't know how things are unfolding today. I will tell you, having spent the last few weeks in Beit Shemesh and hearing everywhere, British accents, everywhere, all new Olim, and I've spoken to a few of them, and they're telling me that Europe is clearing out. I was in a shul every single week. They're announcing new Olim from Europe, from London, from France, from this part of England. They're clearing out. They're panicked. It's what's going on in Europe. I don't know what it means. I don't know if it's true. I don't know what... I'm just telling you the facts, the way they seem to be unfolding. There's another sign of the Kenyan Mashiach that we all want. We want the Kenyan Mashiach of Achareini, Mascheni Acharecha Narutza. Now, there are those who suggest that in our generation, perhaps already we could begin to celebrate. Perhaps already we don't have to mourn so much anymore. Perhaps it's true that we don't have that sense of loss, but we don't need it anymore because we're so, so close. We're so, so close. I'd like to share with you a medrash that was brought to my attention a few days ago. Rabbi Yudin shared with me a medrash in the beginning of Sira Shirim Rabbah on the pasuk of Nagila v'nisma chavah. And the medrash gives a muscle of a queen whose husband, the king, together with her sons and her sons-in-law, travel to another country, Medina Sayyam, to go away on a business trip. And they're gone for an extended period of time, and of course the queen is alone, and she's depressed, and she misses her husband. And then they come to her, and they tell her, Bo Banecha, your children are back. So she says, Ma'ichpas li. Big deal. I'm happy to see them. What do I really care? Tishmachana kolosai. So they're going to make my daughters-in-law happy. So Kevin Shabo, Chasonel, so then her sons-in-law return. Shamalo, they tell her, your sons-in-law are back. She says the same thing, Ma'ichpas li. Very nice. So now my girls will be happy. And finally they come and they say to her, Bo HaMelech, Balech, your husband has come home. So Amr, she says, Hi, Chedvasa Shlema. This is my true joy. This is a very frightening medrash. Kach la'asid lavo. In the future, this is where we are right now. You don't have to be a prophet to interpret this medrash. In the future, in the end of days, ba'in ha'nevi'im ba'omim l'Yerushalayim, the Nevi'im are going to come and call to Yerushalayim, ba'nayich me'rachok yavod, your children are coming. The city of Yerushalayim is bustling everywhere, luxury apartments. It's one of the most beautiful cities in the world. The Hill Meretz Lehem, Ma'ich Pasli. And Yerushalayim says, I don't care. Ubnasayach Atzad Tamona Amrullah Ma'ich Pasli. But look, your sons, your daughters, your children are returning. There are cities, there are schools, there are shuls. It's such an amazing return. And Yerushalayim is saying, Ma'ich Pasli. Cave unto Amrullah. But then in the future, the Navi Zechariah records, he named Malkucha. That what Yerushalayim is truly waiting for is for the king to come back. And the king has not taken his seat on his throne. There is so much that we've seen, but there is so much lost. There is so much that still has not been returned. And I conclude by presenting you with something which I think you can argue with. I think there's room to argue with this, but I think it's something that we should consider, and it's somewhat of a provocative position, but the Sefer that I came across, I just picked it up a few days ago, and I've been enjoying it, the Sefer called Avelos HaKhurban, from Yoel Schwartz. So he suggests that not only should we not relax our need and minimize our desire to mourn for the city of Yerushalayim, for the state of the city of Yerushalayim in our day, but it's something that requires intensification. He says, Mavada Amor, despite all of this, Nira Shadavka B'tzkufaseinu, specifically in our generation, Yesh Lehitzar Mishnetzar L'Churban, we should have double pain. Mishum Shahayu Solanu Shas Ratzon V'Arach Panavis Barach. Because what we saw, what we see in our generation, is how close we've come. We've seen now over 40 years that Yerushalayim has returned to Jewish sovereignty, and there is still no mikdash. And he says, you have to stop and think. Why is that? Why is it that we came so close only for the door to close? He says, that is a reason not for us beginning to take out the champagne. That is a reason to mourn even more. Veniri, he says, Shizu Kavanas HaGemara, he says, perhaps this is how the Gemara is to be understood, B'derech Remez. The Gemara in Brachu says, Shalosh Mishmaras Havav Laila. There are three different segments of the night. V'akol Mishmar, Mishmar Yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'shoei Ka'ari. And in every one of these segments of the night, is as if Kaviyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu roars like a lion. V'omer Oy Levanim Sheva V'naseyim Hachravdi is Beisi V'sarafi is Echoli V'iglisem L'ben Umas Olam. God cries and screams in pain and agony, Kaviyochel, over the fact that his sons have sinned and that he's destroyed his house. So he suggested Halayla over here in the remnant to the Golos. And these Mishmaros are certain tikufos in history. They're historical segments of all Jewish history. And he says, Kasher Mishmeres Nigmara, when a Mishmar is complete, the Am Yisrael lo zachu lasos tshuva, when that segment is over, and we have not been worthy to be the recipients of the completion of the Gula at that moment, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shoei ka'ari al ha-churban. We've been given an opportunity and we've lost it. Because now that opportunity has once again expired. We no longer have seen the completion of the Gula Shleim of Amitus. And so therefore he suggests that in our generation we need to be even more concerned. We need to be even more distressed over the fact that we have not seen the Gula Shleim of Amitus. This is not easy. It is not easy to walk and to see and to experience the beautiful city of Yerushalayim, whether you're there or from a distance, and to feel a sense of agony and pain. It's hard to feel anything but excitement and pride and true satisfaction of what we've been able to accomplish. But sometimes we have to take even a deeper look, and we have to look through past all of that, and not to minimize the accomplishments, but to see that the Churban is still there. And we'll talk tomorrow, when we introduce the Kinos, more about the causes of the Churban. But here, you don't need any safer to understand that the causes for the Churban, unfortunately, are still alive and well. In a time when there is still so much of a disconnect between different segments of the Jewish population, not specifically, but even in the city of Yerushalayim, where there is regularly feuding, even riots of the most inappropriate type that take place in the holy city of Yerushalayim. So it's more than just the fact that the Har HaBayis is occupied. We've come so far, but there is so much that's still missing. There's so much that still needs to be done. And on this day of Tisha B'Av, on this day which historically has been a day of mourning, and perhaps in previous generations, when Yerushalayim was literally a city in shambles, so it was easier to speak about the year, which is Bezuyah v'Shalmeima, which is desolate, where there is no one there, where it's sitting there alone, gathering dust and garbage. So perhaps it's more challenging for us in our generation, but I think we have to end where we started, and that is with the question of Ayeka. That Eicha is also a call, Ayeka, where are you? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking each and every one of us on this day of Tisha B'Av, Ayeka, where are you? Why is it that I don't see, God is saying to us, I don't see that concern, that distress over the Churban. Not everyone here, myself included, is cut out to get up every night at midnight and recite Tikkun Chatzos. Maybe some of you do. There are people who do every night. You go to you don't have to go to the Kotel. Go to any yeshiva, you'll find people literally midnight, each and every night of Chatzos, crying on the floor bitterly. There are such people in the world. Perhaps many of us are not there. I don't know that that's the only answer to Ayeka. There's a lot more in between. Perhaps 10 times faster than that. And sitting on the floor every night of the year and crying for the Churban HaBayis. Ayeka is a question that God asks us, where are you? Why don't you have that Meitzar V'Doeg, as the Shulchan Aruch writes, that every year Shemayim should have the Meitzar V'Doeg of Churban Beis HaMikdash? Why is it that we could live a complete, wholesome and Jewish lifestyle, observing all the mitzvahs of the Torah with all of the details and everything properly, but somehow not have been able to connect with this very, very important aspect of our observance. Tisha B'Av should be a day, she said, where we can awaken and reawaken and inspire with inside of ourselves this need of each and every Jew to be mitzapel Yeshua, to be meitzar v'doeg, to be concerned, to grieve, and to yearn for the coming of Mashiach, and particularly in our door when we are so close, but we dare not kid ourselves because we have no idea how far we have. We have no way of knowing. We speak about it as racist, smichas gulasenu. We have no idea. Perhaps yes, perhaps no. We have no guarantees that there won't be other major setbacks before the gulasenu vamitas, but we have an obligation, particularly at such a time, to find within inside of ourselves the strength and the ability to remain focused and determined, not to let our guard down, not to become complacent with the lifestyle we've been able to build, not to be able to create within inside of ourselves a connection to God and to Torah without Yerushalayim, without the Beis Hamikdash in its place where it should be. May we be zocha to inspire, to awaken within inside of ourselves this desire not only to experience, but to bring about, to be toveya, to claim, and to initiate the gula shleima v'amitzus b'mehera v'yamein.